At least one Arizonan relying on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program to work and drive legally expects to be inside the U.S. Supreme Court this morning. It's taken a little more than 2 years for DACA, as it's called, to rise through the system. But the questions before the high court today have little to do with whether nearly 25,000 Arizonans have earned a shot at citizenship. From the Fronteras desk in Phoenix, KJZZ's Matthew Casey reports.
I am somebody!
Karina Ruiz has led chants for years. She's an activist, studied biochemistry, and works part-time in real estate. Ruiz is also a DACA recipient.
And the Supreme Court has to go beyond the technicalities and do the right thing to protect people like myself.
Ruiz is about to shepherd marchers through one of Phoenix's main arteries. Then she'll hop a flight to Washington, D.C. Ruiz says she'll be inside the Supreme Court when the final round of the fight for DACA starts.
If they want to be in the right of history, they have to go beyond just the procedure, but really look at the whole issue and look at our lives that are at stake.
Ruiz heads the Arizona Dream Act Coalition. She's been a KJZZ source for years, but it's been almost two decades since the mother of three U.S. citizens first heard Congress might give her and millions of other so-called dreamers a shot at citizenship. That's a significant step beyond DACA and something Congress has yet to approve.
I became a grandma waiting for the Dream Act.
In the meantime, Ruiz is grateful for the protection against deportation that DACA gives her and roughly 661,000 others. So many immigrants get nothing, she says. Life has been a roller coaster for the last couple years. Ruiz wakes up every day with a question.
What is Trump going to tweet that's going to really affect my life and put me at risk of deportation, at risk of being separated from my family?
In September 2017, a group of state attorneys general threatened a lawsuit to force President Trump's hand on a campaign promise he'd softened on since taking office. DACA recipients watched in Phoenix as then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions said DACA, created by executive order under President Obama, would soon be gone.
Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch.
Lawsuits followed. Then came rulings that kept DACA going during the legal fight. A final win for DACA would most likely result from the Supreme Court determining that the administration chose to end the program on a whim and for fickle reasons, says attorney Ray Ibarra Maldonado.
In administrative law, you have to give the reason for why you're terminating a program or making the change.
The justices may also end DACA by concluding the court doesn't have power over the administration's decision.
If we see a loss here, I think we're going to see it on a technical ground. The Supreme Court is going to technically punt the issue of the morality.
This means neither potential outcome leans heavily on whether DACA recipients have earned a right to stay. Most Americans think they have. But even if a majority of the Supreme Court justices keep DACA alive, it's not a permanent fix to a decades-old problem.
What we're talking about here is continuing a Band-Aid program, not about a solution whatsoever.
Karina Ruiz stops the immigrant rights march at Senator Martha McSally's office on Camelback Road.
All right, so we're going to hear from Carlos Yanez. He's a DACA recipient.
Yanez is a college student. KJZZ first interviewed him on the day DACA was canceled. Back then, Yanez said no DACA meant fight or flight. That fear is still there, he says. But what Yanez tells the crowd shows that activism has become a way for him to confront it.
Unstoppable, undeniable, undocumented, unafraid!
I am more than just my permit. This is my home. My family is here. My friends are here. The people I love are here. Whatever happens at the Supreme Court, I will not leave.
Since DACA was canceled and resuscitated, Yanez says he's done acts of civil disobedience, heard people's cries, and saw them arrested. The experience is why he changed career plans from medicine to law.
And I just felt, if I'm not willing to do the same, then do I deserve this?
Yanez is now in D.C., where he'll be outside the Supreme Court as it weighs his future. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
But first, we turn to Washington, D.C., where right now the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments over whether the Trump administration can end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. The program was created in 2012 by the Obama administration, and it allowed undocumented people who came to the U.S. at a young age to apply for protection from deportation. DACA has allowed almost 800,000 undocumented people to stay in the United States, over 20,000 of them in Arizona. And for more on this, let's turn now to Reyna Montoya. She is a DACA recipient who leads Aliento, a community organization that promotes healing in immigrant communities through art and storytelling. And I got a hold of her earlier this morning while she was camped out, waiting in line outside of the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the arguments.
It's pretty cold, especially from someone from Arizona. It has been raining since 3 a.m. in the morning. I've been camping out here with a couple of friends and my brother as well. So definitely there was like over 100 people for sure. And there's just like a lot of anticipation and anxiety for folks to get inside. And I know that there's also a lot of people about to start a march later on where there's like couple hundred folks expected to arrive.
So you've come all the way to Washington to hear the arguments today. Give us a sense of why you wanted to come in and a little bit about your own story.
Yeah, so I am a DACA recipient myself. I first started sharing my story when I was 19 years old. I'm going to be turning 29 in 11 days. So this is really, really important and personal to me. I migrated from Mexico when I was very little, escaping violence. My dad had been kidnapped, and that's something that was very traumatic for my family. So that's something that being here in the United States has definitely provided a lot of relief and safety. And having to be in this really important moment where my fate and the fate of thousands of students are at stake. But also I wanted to come because I work with a lot of young children and young students who were unfortunately too young to apply for the DACA program. So this means so much more, not only for DACA recipients like myself, but many thousands of students who weren't able to qualify.
Yeah. So what's it been like in the meantime? You said you started talking about this when you were 19. You're almost 29 now. I mean, this has been a decade of you sort of being in limbo. What's this been like being a DACA recipient for all this time?
Yeah, it's been pretty hard. I definitely struggled with my own mental health and anxiety, and having to constantly live in this 2-year cycle, and especially since 2017, not knowing whether, you know, like they're gonna have renewals. For one moment we thought that we weren't gonna be able to renew, and then like the court case began in California, and it's been all this back and forth. And honestly, like part of my heart really desires that, okay, I hope the Supreme Court like would bring a hopeful outcome, but I'm getting to the point that I just like want to know what's gonna happen. The uncertainty is definitely devastating.
So I mean, what are you hoping to hear today? You're hoping to get inside the court to actually hear the arguments. Why is it important for you to be there, and what do you want to hear?
I think it's really important that the 9 justices see that we're not a number, that we're real people that have stories, and that is really important for us, for them to see us, you know? And I think for me, it's like, I want to make sure that I go in with all my heart and all the stories that I bring from the over 27,000 students from Arizona.
Yeah. Are you optimistic that this will go your way today, that the Supreme Court will uphold the program?
I mean, I think that part of me would always remain optimistic, and I'm hoping that something will be good, and at least that they get to talk about our impact and the great contributions that we do to this nation, and also the fact that we are making our communities better. So hopefully they get to see that.
So if the court does rule with the government here and allow DACA to end, what will that mean for you?
If they were to end DACA, you know, it's really unfortunate because we would go back to square one. And right now, we're not only talking about students, we're talking about people like me who employ other U.S. citizens, who employ other DACA recipients. We're talking about many teachers. I was a classroom teacher for 2 years, you know. We're talking about people who are already within our fabric. And it's not going to only impact, as I said, DACA recipients ourselves, but a whole community.
All right, that is Reyna Montoya. She is a DACA recipient, the founder and CEO also of Aliento, a community organization here in Phoenix that promotes healing in immigrant communities. Reyna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And now let's turn back to Washington, D.C., where we began our show earlier this morning and where the Supreme Court has just finished hearing arguments over whether the Trump administration can end DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Abriel Gallardo is with Living United for Change in Arizona, a group that advocates for social justice in Arizona. She's also a DACA recipient, and she was inside the court this morning to hear the arguments, and she joins us on the line now. Good morning, Abriel.
Good morning.
So give us
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I want to start with a scene setter question. I just watched a video on Twitter of all of the DACA recipients that were in the courtroom walking out of the Supreme Court and walking down the steps together holding hands. Were you a part of this? What was this like for you?
Yes, definitely. There is like a lot of emotions that are hard to describe coming down those stairs, holding hands with other DACA folks. It was a historical moment for me. It was a powerful moment, especially looking down the stairs and looking at all of the people that had gathered there to support and chanting the home is here. It was a very powerful moment.
Now, Abriel, we can ask you certainly about what happened in the courtroom, and we will, but more so, what was your reaction to how the approach was taken? When you're in the courtroom, did you feel hopeful, or are you more worried about what you heard from both sides?
I was very nervous, mainly because it was my first time there. But being in that space and hearing the arguments, I think one of the things that really impacted me was something that Judge Sotomayor said, that this was more than a policy. This was about having the power to hurt the lives of people. And I think that really gave me hope. Also, coming down and see that it doesn't matter what happened maybe in the next few months in 2020 with that decision, that this is a battle that immigrant youth and undocumented community have been fighting. I mean, Arizona's youth have been leading a lot of this work, and that we're not going to give up, right? And so I feel really hopeful, mainly for the people who are fighting a long time with me, who are advocating, and who are changing local and national policy.
Abriel, I asked this of Reyna Montoya, who we had on the first hour of our show about this as well, who was also there. But I really wonder why it was important for you to be there, to be in the room. It was not an easy thing to get in, I know.
Yes, definitely. I think I was reminding myself, you know, why I was there and why it was so important. And it took me back to 2003 when my family and I were walking through the Arizona desert. And coming to be now walking up the stairs of the Supreme Court was a moment to just kind of reiterate to me that this is a place, that this is my home, this is where I belong, and this is where my family and I will stay.
Abriel, as we wrap up, the way the Supreme Court works, we may not actually get a ruling until June or even July. So what can you do over the next 6 or 7 months to make sure that whatever the court decides, that this moves forward, that more people hear your story and the story of other DACA recipients?
Definitely. We are going to be focusing on telling other Dreamers or other DACA recipients to renew their DACA. There was no ruling. Renewals are still eligible. In Arizona, with Lucha, we're hosting renewal clinics weekly. But we also need to continue to advocate, because we know DACA is just one solution for a certain amount of people, but we need a solution that includes more than DACA recipients without hurting others. And so we're excited and optimistic to continue to advocate here in Washington, but also in our own municipalities. More than ever, our local officials need to do something to protect our communities locally, like the collaborations ending the collaborations like the one that ICE has with police enforcement.
That's Abriel Gallardo with Lucha, Living United for Change in Arizona. She is outside the Supreme Court now in D.C. as they've just heard arguments over DACA. Abriel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye now.